The World Conference Against Racism begins Friday in Durban, South Africa. Delegates will debate reparations for slavery, the idea that blacks deserve some kind of payback or even back pay for what many of their ancestors endured. Morning Edition will run its own debate on the subject tomorrow. Today, in conjunction with the weekly radio program Justice Talking, we have a story that begins with the familiar phrase, 40 acres and a mule. Shortly after the Civil War, blacks were promised land. Then the promise was taken back and calls for redress died down. Years later, many African Americans have built a vocal campaign for reparations. NPR's Cheryl Corley reports.
It was in 1865, just a few days after meeting with black ministers in Savannah, Georgia, that General William T. Sherman issued Special Field Order No. 15. The order, which came at the end of this country's Civil War, set aside land on the Georgia and South Carolina coast for black settlement. Later, the loan of army mules was added to the deal. For most former slaves, however, that dream was never realized, even though radical Republicans in Congress also pushed for land and civil rights for former slaves. It would be nearly 100 years later that Martin Luther King Jr. alluded to reparations during the 1963 March on Washington.
America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt, so we've come to cash this check. A check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice.
It was also in the 1960s that jazz singer Abby Lincoln broached the subject of reparations.
Just let the retribution match the contribution, baby.
Congressional interest in reparations for African Americans resurfaced in 1989 as Michigan Congressman John Conyers began his annual calls for Congress to set up a commission to study the impact of slavery as well as racial and economic discrimination against African Americans.
It's a standard diplomatic device for atoning for an error. Now, there is no question that Africans as slaves and African Americans who were essentially in a post-slave circumstance even after emancipation, made tremendous contributions in terms of billions of dollars. And so it's very clear that there is some consideration.
Conyers' legislation has languished in the House Judiciary Committee. There have been no hearings. However, a number of cities have approved resolutions supporting Conyers' legislation, including Cleveland, Detroit, and Chicago. Chicago City Council Committee hearing last year drew the general public, academics, and historian and author Lerone Bennett Jr., the executive editor of Ebony Magazine.
African Americans worked from sunup to sundown 6 days a week for 205 years. And it will take a big computer with a lot of memory to compute the money that is owed them with the interest compounded at prevailing market rates annually for 205 years. Somebody in the media raised a question last night about welfare. We're not talking about welfare. We're talking about back pay.
Carrie Austin, a Chicago alderman whose sharecropper father was listed as chattel in the records of a Southern landowner, said while she supports the idea of a commission, she's not looking for any monetary reparation.
You know, every race to me has been oppressed, but not like the African American race. So do I expect any money? No, but I do expect an apology from my president to say that these things did occur. And as the executive officer of the United States, we apologize for them.
Former President Clinton did consider an apology for slavery in 1997, but never officially offered one. He also said at the time reparations were not necessary since slavery occurred so long ago. A White House spokesman says President Bush also opposes paying compensation to blacks because of slavery. Additionally, opponents argue that non-black Americans living today were not responsible for slavery and should not be required to pay for sins committed more than a century ago. Chicago Tribune editorial writer John McCarron says a debate over reparations would be divisive for the country.
Not only do I think there's a general perception that blacks are overplaying the victimization card, overplaying the race card, as it were, but I think this could turn into a very ugly tit-for-tat over who owes who. And I think that's why the constituency for affirmative action is beginning to wear thin. And then you're going to open this very rancorous debate about who owes what to whom, I think would be very counterproductive in the long run for African Americans.
Since support for reparations hasn't come from either the president or Congress, some say the battle must be waged in the courts. A group of Harvard University professors plans to file a class action lawsuit early next year to seek restitution. Chicago Kent College of Law professor Sheldon Namod says there would be several hurdles, including determining who would be the plaintiffs.
The question is whether any of these plaintiffs would themselves have standing. They would have to show that whoever is being sued actually caused them personal harm. There's also a serious question about whom you sue. If the defendant here is the deep pocket defendant, namely the United States has sovereign immunity. You can't just go into court and sue the United States.
Reparation supporters say they understand the obstacles, but they say there are precedents. The billions of dollars Germany has paid to Holocaust survivors over the decades, the apology and the $20,000 apiece that came to Japanese Americans interned during World War II. William Yoshina with the Japanese American Citizens League says it was important to get the government to recognize it was wrong.
It takes more in some cases than saying you're sorry or apologize, and you have to tie something to that so that you deter that action from happening again. And that, in some ways, is how the compensation portion of it got tied in. I think there was always the recognition on the part of the community, though, that that $20,000 was merely symbolic.
In at least one instance, African Americans have received reparations, although not in connection with the country's slave trade. 7 years ago, Florida's legislature approved giving $2 million in compensation to the survivors and descendants of the 1923 Rosewood Massacre. At least 8 people were killed and the town destroyed after whites looking for an alleged black rapist went on a rampage. Wilson Hall was 7 years old at the time.
The more you talk about it, you kind of get filled up, you know. Think about all that you had that was taken from you, wiped away and destroyed, and for what reason?
Wilson Hall died 2 years ago. Perhaps spurred by Rosewood's example, officials in Oklahoma recommended reparations for a 1921 riot in Tulsa. It's believed as many as 300 people died, and the so-called Negro Wall Street neighborhood was destroyed. Earlier this year, Oklahoma lawmakers denied compensating elderly survivors, but agreed to endow scholarships for their descendants and to pay for a riot memorial. Meantime, Congressman Conyers and others hope next year's elections will put him in a position to help the House Judiciary Committee, so he can hold hearings on his call for a commission to study the issue of reparations for slavery and subsequent discrimination. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.
Tomorrow, two voices on opposite sides of the debate about reparations for slavery.
We cannot compensate the victims of slavery, which has long ceased to exist and which is prohibited by the Constitution.
Except we are the victims of slavery.
What do you mean
the African Americans who live today continue to be the victims of enslavement.